Grace us that as you spoke with your blessing, immerse us now in your word. Claim us with your grace and lead us by your spirit. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amazing prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who brings you to the kingdom, who brought you over there. Do not fear, for I have made you. I will call you by name, you are mine. And you pass through the waters of the city, and through the waters they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the only one of Israel, your Savior, and you are blessed in my sight, and honored.
This is the living word of God, and we are reading from Luke's Gospel in the third chapter. People were full of expectations, and they were wondering if maybe John the Baptist might be the Messiah. But he answered and said, I baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming after me who is more powerful than I am. I'm not worthy of it. Untie the thongs of sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat in it, and the chaff he will burn with as much as the fire. And when all the people had been baptized, and Jesus was baptized and was praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove, and a voice came from heaven, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am delighted. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
Very powerful words of blessing, and also blessed words of empowerment. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased, in whom I am delighted. It's obviously a state of God's love for Jesus. But there are some things that these words that Luke has brought us today are quotations from the Old Testament. Two different places. This is my Son. Sounds a lot like Psalm 2, which is an atonement song, one that they would recite on the new kingdom of the Son. And in this Psalm, God says, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Because they believe, yeah. But when you are in this world, you become God's Son. You are reborn as God's Son with all of God's authority in your race. So there's some implication that Jesus is not only loved by God, but chosen to fulfill this important role. 500 years before Jesus, that was recited about the new king. By the time Jesus came along, get king anymore, they were under Roman occupation, that they thought he was referring to the Messiah. So there's an expectation buried in that little statement of love. There's another part too at the end of it where God says, with whom I am well pleased, in whom I am delighted. That's a quote from one of the servants of David, in which the prophet describes the servant of God who suffers in order to faithfully bring forth God's justice. Again, there's not only this note of approval, but also this expectation that Jesus will fulfill this prophetic role. This is God's way of saying, not only I love you, but also I need you. I need you to do this so God gives Jesus love, but also responsibility for the calling that Jesus has given us. So when we are baptized, we are baptized with Jesus. We walk on in the arms of Jesus, and we are baptized into Christ. Just like a river flows into the ocean and forms part of the ocean, we flow within the mouth and become part of God. So when we renew our baptism, we hear those words again spoken to ourselves. This is daily spoken to the Amen and Magnolia. So we will say, hey, you are God's delight, God's delight. Can you say that? Do you want to know? That's why we come here. We have to be to remind each other of who we are. Because the world isn't done that. The world will not tell you that you are God's beloved. The world will tell you that you might be beloved if you drive the right car, or if you use the right standard, mostly if you are white, male, healthy, straight. This is pretty long list, actually, the way you have to be in order to be beloved. If you're black, you can be beloved if you're coming back life, but otherwise, you're stuck back. If you're a woman, raise your hand if you think it's false. You will be beloved if you're young and sexy. That's the message the world tells you. Right? Women must to hear this message that you are God's beloved, period. That's who you want. The thing is, when we believe that other message, that we're not quite God's beloved, we might be God's beloved if we're good enough, that creates a whole world of fear. Even among good people, I mean, a lot of people who were worried on whether or not they would go to heaven. That's the fear that infects the whole world when we really believe that it's not absolutely sure that we're not as loving. But that's conditional. That we're afraid. And in that fear, we compete for that beloved. We defend ourselves. We try to prove our beloved. We start separating ourselves from other people. If I want to be beloved, I'm not sure you're beloved. That's where all that hatred and war and greed and racism and perspective and all of those things come from. It's trust. Well, the love of God heals a world that's full of such fear by sending into it people who know that. People who know that you are God's beloved. Everybody else is God's beloved. So there might be nothing more important that you can do than to discover and to claim your identity and your calling that God is beloved. It's surprisingly hard to do because of that message that you might be God's beloved. Yes. And we're always struggling with that gift. So there's this hard work of letting go of all those lies, letting go of that distrust and that fear in order to really be God's beloved. When you're the church, a baptismal pool, and there's one that's sprinkling, you can sit down in it. And if the pool is shaped like a chimney, and if you walk down into the water and went all the way under, you were pronounced dead. Too bad about Magdalene. She was a wonderful kid. She loved her life. Oh, that's so sad. And this will be the moment of silence. And then at the last minute, she becomes gasping for breath. They would say, oh, a new person has been born. Wow. A new baby is gone. What's her name? And they would give her a new name. And he would bring her out to the congregation and introduce this new person who had just been born. That's why you hear pastors, the little fragment of that still left in the room today. And what name have we given to this child? We all run like, you know, his name, of the into gratitude with Christ. That's what Christmas is. The first, you have to drown. First, you have to go down into that water and shed the old person that might be not the love of my God. The little legible person that we build with our own abilities and skills and righteousness and prayer and whatever we think we need to build into it. And God says, let that one die. I will give you your word, your beloved self, the one that I gave, not you. There can be nothing more powerful to continually engage in that journey of letting go of that self-made self and claiming our identity as God's beloved and our thoughts as God's beloved. Because when we live like that, as if we really are God's beloved, and everybody else is God's beloved, we change the world. That's what Jesus did. He didn't have any great special theology anymore. It was just this one simple thing. God really loves us and gives us the power of life. And when we live here harmony with that power, miracles happen. That was his entire theology. That was his whole message. Whole thing. Jesus didn't teach anything else. And look at the power of him. So we come over and over to this one, to this promise, our my loyal promise. You are the beloved, with whom I am delighted. Period. No intent what? You can't change that. All your sin can't change that. I'm the one who deserves that. You are not the one. We come to hear that message over and over so that we become those people that God creates us to be. Because God says, I love you. And I need you. God needs each one of us to live out that belovedness in our own way. Each of us has particular skills and gifts and graces and perspectives and stories. And those have been put there by God. Not for us, but for the world. And so we do in our willingness to really be God's beloved. Now I invite you to enter into this silence and hear the voice of God. Contemplate what this means for you. Let it sink in to the core of your being. This promise from God. You are my offspring, my royal son for God. You are my beloved. With you, I am beloved. Listen to those words in your own heart. God speaks to us. And grant you my wisdom to hear your voice. You are my child, my beloved, in whom I am delighted. pray. We thank you for your love that you've shown us in Christ and that you give to us equals. We pray and beg to receive your blessing. Be mindful of your presence to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desires.